You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, it's been almost 2 weeks since more than 55,000 postal workers across the country went on strike, and although negotiations are still ongoing, there is no indication whether the parties will reach an agreement anytime soon. With only 4 weeks left until the Christmas package rush, today we speak with local representatives on the picket line in Smithers about what it will take to end the strike. Also on the program today, the Hopeful campaign aims to alleviate some of the pressure of the climate crisis for those feeling a bit anxious about the future of the planet. Founder Janet Harris gives us a breakdown as to why this type of hopefulness is needed now more than ever. Stay with us.
My name's Eileen. I'm actually just a union member with Local 828 Smithers for the CUPW union.
Okay, and how have things been going here? It's pretty cold out this morning. How have things been going here?
They've been going pretty good. We've actually had a lot of community support, which is really nice. You know, people honking and waving and dropping off stuff for us, so that's really good. You know, it helps with the morale around here. Yeah.
How many members do you have out here?
In our local, we have, I think, maybe 15, but that extends to Houston as well as Telqua and the two Hazeltons.
And I guess what are, you know, obviously majority are postal workers. What are some of the jobs that you folks would be doing if you weren't here on the picket line?
Well, we have basically two different units for our bargaining units. We have what is called an urban unit, and they are the postal workers that work inside the post office, breaking down the mail, sorting it into boxes, carding the parcels, cards in the postal boxes. And then we have the RSMCs, of which we have seven of us, and we are the postal workers who do the road delivery, and we take care of all the boxes on the side of the roads. Yeah.
You know, Canada Post is obviously as old as the country, and there's a lot of stuff that you guys do. A lot of people still use the postal service, and I know Canada Post has been trying to do more parcels and stuff like this, but they're also losing money over the last number of years. Where do you think kind of Postal Canada sits in like the Canadian psyche? You know, it's just like something like CBC. It's just synonymous with our country.
We've been pushing Canada Post to expand its services because we reach every single community in Canada. There are communities like off the wall example is Stewart, BC. It doesn't have a bank. We've been trying to get postal banking going for the longest time, and it just has never been received very well. So that's just one thing that Canada CUPW Union has been pushing for Canada Post to take on.
You know, you mentioned one thing that's super important here. You know, we live rurally here in this part of Canada, a good portion of us anyway. This is not an easy thing. This is not an easy job to make sure that, you know, postal services, the depth of the postal service in rural Canada. You know, what are some of the things that you guys are asking for at the table, knowing that this is not, you know, the easiest job?
We're asking for our job security. We are asking for our pensions to be the same for future hires. One of Canada Post's, what they've put forth in their offer is a different benefit or a different pension plan for future hires. We don't want to sell them out because we have a strong defined benefit plan for our pension plan, and they want to give them a defined contribution plan, which is a totally different ballgame. Yeah. We're asking for for our wages to go up. We're so far behind our last contract. We didn't negotiate anything. We took an extension, and then inflation went through the roof, and our wages didn't keep up. Benefits, same story with the benefits. They want to offer future hire different benefits. We want them the same plan as us. So 8 hours a day jobs, not all part-time, because you can't really live on part-time. And if you have a flexible schedule for your part-time, you can't really get a second job because you never know your schedule. They have implemented what's called separate sort and delivery in the letter carrier world, which means in the RSMC world, it will hit there sooner or later. And that's where the urban letter carriers go in, and they don't know what they're doing today. They have to wait till they get there to see whether they're just sorting or whether they're going out to delivery. I have a route. It is my route. I've been on it for 14 years. I know exactly what I'm going to do. If they implement that, I could be sorting on one route one day, delivering a different route the next, or sorting on one route and delivering on a different one that same day. I can't plan anything.
You know, we're seeing other unions that have been locked out recently. We're seeing other unions that have gone on strike recently in the last few years. A lot of it in the same realm, dealing with the federal, provincial government, employees, workers association type of thing. You know, as you mentioned earlier, this hasn't gone to arbitration just yet. It's in negotiation still. But as we've seen recently, there was a forced arbitration by the labor minister. How confident are you that this will be successful?
We've been locked out before. We've been arbitrated back before. We've done rotating strikes and been locked out or arbitrated. Sorry. We've done rotating strikes the last two times we've been on strike, and we've been legislated back within 2 weeks or within a month of those. It's nothing new to us.
Just the last thing for you. You know, we're approaching December. You guys are clearly bundled up. I got a little propane fire going here. It was minus 15 this morning when I looked at the thermometer. Here you are. How's morale going with this business?
Up and down, you know. It was trying to snow earlier, so that means it was getting warmer out. It's all good. We're here.
Okay, Aileen, thank you so much. Good luck.
Thank you. Have a good day.
That was Aileen, a unionized postal worker on the picket line in Smithers. Also earlier this week, the federal labor minister, Stephen McKinnon, spoke to reporters about the ongoing postal negotiations.
In the case of Canada Post, I have been following this, of course, very closely. We can only send out our regrets for the uncertainty that this causes. Of course, the uncertainty for Canada Post employees and their families. I would characterize these negotiations as extremely difficult. There are many big issues to solve at the table. Not a lot of progress has been made on those big issues. We have, as Minister of Labor, my job is to facilitate the conclusion of a collective agreement. And I've, of course, asked and directed that all of the resources of our department dedicated and devoted to helping the parties achieve an agreement at the table. I'm not looking at any other solution other than negotiation right now. Every day is a new day in collective bargaining, and we are going to continue to support the parties in any way we can and make sure that they are able to try and get a negotiated agreement.
Although federally legislated binding arbitration has not yet been invoked by the federal government, the Labour Minister did leave the door open to use that as an option if negotiations drag on as we head into the busy holiday season. Coming up next, my conversation with Janet Harris from the Hopeful Campaign. Coming up next, my conversation with Sheena Miller, the Executive Director for the Smithers Chamber of Commerce, about how the postal worker strike is impacting local rural businesses.
Sheena Miller, Smithers District Chamber of Commerce, Executive Director.
Great, Sheena. Thanks so much for being with us here on CICK News. Of course, as you know, we're seeing a postal worker strike right now. 55,000 postal workers across the country are on strike. This is just weeks before the holiday season and the big Christmas rush. I've been seeing lots of people kind of making their way to Main Street and to businesses on Main Street especially. But how is this strike impacting the business community here in Smithers?
Thanks for the question, Dan. There are so many impacts to emphasize, but really I'll just start with the critical role that Canada Post plays. So it's often the sole cost-effective and reliable option for shipping goods and accessing essential mail services in rural communities like Smithers. So it's really impacting our community at large. And then in terms of specific impacts on small businesses, you know, the strike couldn't come at a particularly more challenging time for small businesses. They've already been dealing with tight margins, rising operational costs, and supply chain issues that were recently due to the port closures and transportation delays. So we've really seen the pressure right now on small businesses. And then if we really think in terms of the holiday season, it's a really critical time for our small businesses and entrepreneurs in terms of revenue building for this period. And the disruptions to shipping and mail services significantly threaten their ability to meet customer demands and just to sustain their normal operations. You know, another perspective is that there's limited alternatives in rural areas. So unlike urban centers, rural businesses and residents have few viable options and alternatives to Canada Post. So really, it's exasperating the impact on the strike on connectivity, essential supplies, and general economic stability. And, you know, one other thought is that there's a disproportionate impact on communities. So this strike disproportionately affects rural areas. So not just economically, but also socially. I think residents and businesses rely on Canada Post for essential services in our economic regions. So it can be thought of as actually devastating for, you know, again, not just small businesses, but the community at large.
Obviously, you know, being connected as the ED for the Chamber of Commerce, you hear a lot from the business community. You're the voice for the business community here. What are some of the things that you're hearing from businesses? Obviously, as you mentioned, there's been some other disruptions over the last few months. So what are you hearing from businesses specifically here in Smithers?
You know, really, to put it pretty simple, businesses are struggling. You know, there's some businesses that are built on services on necessity. So, for example, you know, you go into your dentist's office, it's business as usual. But there's so many entrepreneurs and businesses that have unique services, and they're just, you know, they're struggling. There's just the overall high cost of, you know, inflation, supply chains, like everything from gas and basic business supplies and office supplies are really escalating. So it's been a really strange year. And, you know, when you talk to a lot of businesses, they haven't actually, you know, totally bounced back from the pandemic. So they just keep getting hit with barrier after barrier. And at the end of the day, the chamber can advocate, we can write letters, we can do so much, but, you know, and we can encourage the community to support local and really get behind the businesses. But, you know, we have to call on our politicians to find some collective solutions. And really right now, we need to call for that urgency around a prompt return for negotiations. I think it's pretty critical to mitigate further economic harm right now to small businesses and specifically, again, rural communities like Smithers, BC.
Yeah, no doubt. Just the last thing for you, Sheena, you know, obviously, as you mentioned, you know, there's been a slew of pressures on local businesses, especially rural businesses, for the last number of years. This is just the next kind of episode. It's just before the holiday rush that we're seeing. There are obviously packages and things that still need to keep moving. How are businesses, from what you've heard, how are businesses coping with this? And what would you like to see a solution for this particular strike right now?
That's kind of a multi-pronged question, Dan. But, you know, every business, again, is coping different. Every sector is coping different. I think everyone's finding individualized solutions right now. And some businesses are actually finding a silver lining in terms of that, you know, not everyone's going to be using Amazon right now to send a gift to their family in New Brunswick. So, for example, they're going to buy local and they might save that gift and mail it at a later time. So there's things like that that I'm hearing that are happening, again, within the greater community, and people are just changing their expectations around gift giving and what that looks like. And then really, again, the chamber's calling for, a prompt return to negotiations and, you know, supporting the Canadian Chamber and the BC Chamber with the messaging and the letters around that right now. And, you know, again, we're going to continue to emphasize the unique vulnerabilities of rural businesses during this service disruption. And again, keep the pressure on our decision makers, as well as it's important to really highlight the resilience of the Smithers community. The community somehow rises above things like that. And I think, again, really encouraging that support local message that the chamber is behind and really getting the greater community to shop local and support the business directly during this period of uncertainty and to carry that through. You know, it's not, this cultural shift needs to happen now and it needs to be lived every day of the year, not just around the Christmas holidays. So it's not enough just to support local once in a while. It's something that has to happen where people need to look at their budgets and see how much they can allocate to keep in the local economy. And so at the end of the day, it's, again, about advocating for these small changes, and they'll make a big impact, you know, if you can keep money trickling here in the Smithers region.
All right, Sheena, we'll leave it there for now. But thanks so much for giving us your time today.
Thank you, Dan.
That was Sheena Miller, Executive Director for the Smithers District Chamber of Commerce. Coming up next, I get a chance to speak with Janet Harris about the newly formed Hopeful Campaign. Stay with us.
My name is Janet Harris, and I live in Smithers. And I'm working with a few people, a small group, on a campaign, a grassroots campaign, called Hopeful. With the idea that I may not be alone in feeling a little bit of eco-anxiety. I think there's a lot of people that are looking around and seeing a lot of climate disasters and some doom and gloom. And I think it would be great to sort of change the script a little bit and kind of wipe away some of that cynicism. And with the idea of initiating some everyday action-packed ideas that that the everyday person can do in their life to give them agency on making Smithers a more of a hopeful community.
Yeah, Jana, thanks so much for being with us here on CSK News. You touch on a pretty good topic that as of late, we've been hearing more and more about. You know, as you mentioned, a lot of folks have had enough with the doom and gloom and kind of the negative, you know, message, despite the fact that we are in a climate crisis. But you're providing some tangible, you know, action-oriented ideas for people to do in their day-to-day that would hopefully make them a little bit less anxious about this climate crisis and also empower them a little bit. So tell me more about what is this campaign all about, and how are you trying to reach people?
Well, the idea of Hopeful is, if you think of the words, the H-O-P-E-F-U-L, beside each one of those letters are initiatives. So I'm going to give you a bit of a list. So hiking and biking. So we can all do a little bit more in the way of active transportation when we can. Opting for green energy. So how can we make our homes more economical to heat, maybe some heat pumps, better windows, planting a veggie garden, planting trees, eat locally produced food. And we are in a perfect place to do that. We have lots of ranches and farmers and people that are, you know, growing gardens in our fantastic local market. The other idea is to foster local travel. So perhaps instead of, thinking you need to fly to Europe for a hiking holiday, maybe considering some of the beautiful mountains that we have here. We are in a perfect position in Smithers to foster local travel. We've got the Babines, we've got Haida Gwaii, we've got the beautiful West Coast, Stewart with the glaciers. There's lots of options. We're so fortunate in that regard. Some of the other things would be trying to use plastic-free options. So maybe, you know, really concentrate on those reusable bags, those reusable mugs. And one of the big ones, of course, which is probably the hardest one because our whole economy is based on consumption, but is to limit consumption. You know, maybe think about ways that you can reuse, recycle, and just change the narrative. I know that they say that shopping gives you a big hit of dopamine. Well, maybe there's other ways you can get that dopamine hit. Maybe going out for a forest walk, maybe helping a neighbor, belonging to a community. So it would be, I would like to invite people to imagine being part of a collective that is, you know, working together to make the world a better place. So how else are we going to get the message out? We're going to create posters. We're going to hopefully go into some of the schools and chat to the kids about how they're feeling about the world, and give them some ideas, real action-oriented ideas that they can incorporate. I'd love to have a big mural in Smithers somewhere on a wall that's just begging for art to push the idea of hopeful. And I think that that we can all come together and sort of imagine this community that's got climate at the forefront.
Yeah, no doubt. You mentioned a few things there that I just want to touch upon. One in particular is this idea of, you know, staycations, I guess, you know, using kind of the natural beauty and the attributes here to enjoy. You mentioned a number of places. I know lots of friends here in Smithers. You will go to Prince Rupert even, or down on the island for vacation to get some sun. Oftentimes, you know, we see on the Sunshine Coast, they get a little bit more sun than we do. Earlier in the year, it's not as cold, so it kind of breaks up the winter, rather than going to a place like Mexico or far away. And with this idea in mind, and on the same note, you know, we see lots of people who come from, you know, across Canada, across BC and Alberta, who come here to travel and play and enjoy, just because we have all this wonderful space and all these wonderful things to do here that many others don't. I guess one of the other things is, you know, some folks might say, oh, well, you know, it doesn't really matter what we do locally. This is a much bigger issue. You know, we even Canada, you know, our global emissions in the global perspective is only 2%, you know, and a lot of people will look at that and go, well, what's the big deal here? We shouldn't have to worry about it. Why do you think that this is so important to get this type of campaign going, to encourage folks that are probably thinking this way, but just don't feel that, you know, it's you know, in vogue to feel this way? Why do you think this is needed now?
Well, I do think that, you know, the rules of the game have slightly changed. I mean, scientists have known what's going on for a long time, and it's been a bit controversial, but I think the writing is on the wall, and I think it's time for us to change the narrative, to be okay to talk about these things and what are the things that you are doing. And I'm, you know, Pollyanna-ish in that I think that an individual or a group of individuals can make a change. But I think, you know, just saying you support the Hopeful campaign probably isn't good enough. I think that we have to take action. We have to actually start to change our habits, and they can be done very incrementally. But I think that over time, when you make a change and you start talking about these things, I think that it just raises the consciousness. And I do think that for our youth, they say that a lot of youth, even though they've never really experienced any climate disasters, they're still in fear of it. And I think a lot of that leads to inaction. So I don't think people need more education about climate change. And I do think people care, but I think it's just a question of giving everybody some ideas of what they can do. So I also would like to throw out a challenge that to get, once we have our website built, that I would like people to make a pledge, if they feel comfortable, on how they would like to change their everyday habits. So an example would be that I, Janet Harris, as an upstander for the environment, pledge to, and there could be, create a pledge. It could be a pledge that you individually make. It could be with a friend. It could be with your neighbors. And it could be something as simple as I pledge to bike to work for a week, or I plan to eat vegan one day per week, or as an upstander for the environment, I pledge to walk to work for a week. I mean, there's numerous things. It could be I pledge to use reusable bags for my lunches or my reusable coffee cup. Just little things like that. So this whole campaign is about maybe making some of those little incremental changes that that might give you pleasure. You might be able to look in the mirror and say, I'm doing something, and will give you agency. And I think that's empowering, and it's certainly going to send a good example for kids.
Yeah, no doubt. Janet, last thing, how, if people are wanting to take part in this new campaign, how can they do that? You mentioned that you're still kind of in the early phases of getting things rolling, but if folks hear this and are keen, how can they get involved?
Well, right now, as you said, it is early stages. We are building a website, and we're going to be putting posters up. There might be some forums that will be coming up, but people can come and discuss what we're doing. I think the first step would be to become familiar with the campaign, and that will probably be via posters, via the website. The website will explain what we're trying to do. And I think it would be nice that for people to come together and talk about what they're doing and maybe challenge each other with pledges. And I don't think it'll take a life of its own, actually, once we get the ball rolling. So if anyone would like to reach me, have questions about the Hopeful campaign, or would like to become part of it, my email is janet@bulkleyriver, as in our river, bulkleyriver.com. And I'm Janet Harris.
All right. We'll leave it there for now. But Janet, thanks so much for chatting with us today about this new campaign. And I'm sure we'll be in touch.
Awesome. Thank you very much for your time.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists, I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.
About CICK, visit us at smithersradio.com. Yeah, .com.